Newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, I'm Maureen McCollum. A lack of money has been a common theme for the University of Wisconsin system in recent years. As support from state taxpayers has fallen, the rising cost of college in Wisconsin has been picked up by students who face yearly tuition increases. But the new UW System Board of Regents President, Brent Smith of La Crosse, sees a light at the end of the tunnel. He says in the next budget cycle, there may not be massive state funding cuts and large tuition increases for students. I asked him to characterize the current state of the University of Wisconsin system.
It's a very critical time in that we see the continued decline, let's say in percentage terms, probably of state support. And there's a whole new model of higher education out there that we see not only at the University of Wisconsin system, but other systems across the country. As you see, at best stable and maybe somewhat declining percentages of state support, there's an emphasis on other sources of funding, whether it be federal grants, whether it be private fundraising, et cetera. But there's also the model that says, well, if that's going to happen, then we want to have more ability to make our own decisions at the campus level, that flexibility that we talked about in the last couple of budgets with the state. And not only do you see that here in Wisconsin, but you see that throughout the country. So there's more decision-making process on how to spend the money being done now at the local level as opposed to the system office or with the legislature, with the Department of Administration. So it's a very challenging time, and as you get the number of students still increasing in this university and across the country, and with stable or declining public support, it becomes a challenge on how to still educate as many people as we can, which we want to do, obviously, and keep that high quality, which has been a part of our country's heritage, certainly, and part of, one of the great things about the University of Wisconsin system.
And there have been some conversations going on lately. Before this interview started, you mentioned a Newsweek article asking whether or not higher education is worth it. So in your mind, is higher education worth it?
Yes, and it's worth, and that is a, you've seen, there was not only the Newsweek article, but it's certainly a discussion that's going on, the value of higher education today of getting a degree. Well, one, you just look at the statistics. Every study that's ever been out there shows that college graduates, or somebody with some degree, has a better chance of getting a job than somebody without. And two, they're going to be able to get a higher paying job. I mean, the statistics don't lie. It's been overwhelming. You know, I would argue that the benefits of college and higher education go beyond what's done in the classroom. There's all of the experiences that we have at college for especially at least a traditional student, the young person who's coming from high school, the socialization, the thought process, the thinking process is all, in my mind, just an important part of this too. And so we just can't look at what's done in the classroom, although that's a critical. Preparing for that person to go in the job market, that's critical. But again, it goes beyond that to me. So to me, the answer is unequivocally yes. We can talk a lot about the rising cost of higher education, why that is, but still in the end, I think the overwhelming answer to that question is yes.
So you've been very busy.
Yes.
Since becoming the president. One of the biggest announcements that the Board of Regents has made in your time as president is this announcement about the flexible degree program. I'm wondering if you can explain what exactly this is.
Sure. It's clear that between 750,000 and 1 million adults in the state of Wisconsin have some college degree credits. But for whatever reason, they couldn't complete it, they had family come along, they had jobs come along, they could not complete their education. And now they have a hard time, given their situation or challenges, to get back into that classroom and complete it. So what we've tried to do is say that, well, let's look at a little different model is for at least a part of the population, primarily adult population, as to how we get them college degrees. And the flexible degrees emphasizes such things as online learning. We already have some online learning, but this is going to, in this flexible degree, be an emphasis of that. And some credit for prior learning, whether it be in the classroom, or maybe even we do an assessment of things they've done outside the classroom in their job and say that should count as towards a degree, credits for a degree. So it's a whole different way of looking as how we deliver education and deliver all of our classes to students and primarily probably at the adult population right now. So if we can, among that population, get a sizable degree or a significant degree to have a college degree because of this, it's going to be worth it. We find there's a reason that technical colleges are having a great upswing in their population. There is a reason that the for-profits have come and done a, there's been a role for them and a spot for them in our society. And I think one of the reasons that both of them have succeeded is that they've offered alternatives to the usual Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 classroom. They've done it at nights. They've done it online. And that's when people in today's society with households that are working two jobs and three jobs and with three kids, they have to have some other alternative. So I think we're in a bit of a catch-up phase here on that. And so that's what we're doing. And we hope to start it soon. We're talking about it at every meeting at the UW Board of Regents. We've decided this is going to be on every agenda to make sure it happens. It happens as soon as we can. We have to have buy-in from our campuses. I mean, we can't just kind of mandate it from the UW Board of Regents that this is going to happen. Obviously, our faculty's got to be a large part of the conversation. We've started that process. We've had a couple meetings in the last couple weeks with faculty representatives from throughout the system. We've had a good response, and it's going to happen.
Will the focus for the degrees be an array of degrees, anything from psychology to business, or is there going to be certain focuses?
No, yeah, good question. It would be a variety, and it would be Eau Claire might offer something different than Platteville. So it's not going to be just one particular field. And so people will be able to have some choices.
And you'll be asking for $21 million from the state legislature for the flexible degree program. Will some of that money go towards creating jobs within the UW system to manage this program?
I think that's going to be a small part of it. I think we have, for the most part, people on our staff who can manage this, and we've asked Ray Cross, who's the head of UW Extension, to kind of lead this effort, and he's way out in front on this and is going to be, I think, a great person to head this up. So primarily the money that will not be towards the people. There's a certain startup costs associated with it and technology and different things, but really the money for the flexible degree is a part of the $21 million. So that all of the $20 million is not going to flexible degree. It's going through some other stuff as well. But sure, there are some startup costs associated, but I don't think it's going to involve a mass hiring by the UW system.
Another top priority that you've stated previously is that you want the Board of Regents to increase faculty and staff across the UW system.
We want to increase their pay. And let me just talk a little bit about that, because we don't have the final say on that. We make a recommendation to the governor, who then makes the recommendation to the legislature. But the process starts with us to come up with a pay plan in a future meeting this fall that we will submit to the governor. It is, as I've said, I think the most serious challenge we have in the UW system today is a level of pay for our staff and our faculty. Our faculty, I think, are a little over 18% behind their peers. We are seeing the effect of that within the UW system right now. We are losing top flight faculty and staff to other institutions because they're being offered 10, 15, 20% more than they can be paid that they're being paid within the UW system. And so, it is happening. This is not just something that us and the faculty are making up. This is reality. And if we can't start to lower that gap, which is not going to happen overnight, we're not going to get a 20% pay increase, but if we can't start to lessen that gap, we're going to lose more quality professors. We're going to lose more quality staff. And the result on the quality of the education that a student gets to go to the UW system is going to be, altered. So that, to me, is something we have to do. We'll come up with a pay plan. We're not sure exactly what the numbers are going to be that we'll submit to the governor and hopefully go to the legislature. But the trend has to stop, or we are going to continue to feel the effects throughout the system.
Is it realistic to think that you will be able to find money to pay faculty and staff more?
I think so. I think it is a lot tougher to ask in the environment that we were in the past three or four budgets. This budget, as you can see from the numbers that we have from the state, is we're in a better financial condition. In fact, the latest numbers last week showed again that the state is financially better off than even they thought they were going to be. Again, we're not talking about $1 billion surpluses, but we're talking about a state that's in a better position. And we think, because of that, that there is the opportunity to have some pay plan. We're not going to be asking for 10% increases, but these are faculty and staff who haven't had any significant increases for years.
Since 2008, I believe.
Right, right. And going back, if you look back even before 2008, sure, there was little, if anything, in the two or three budget before then. So there's some real makeup to do. And so we think this is an opportunity to do that. And we're certainly going to be aggressive in asking the legislature and the governor to join us on that.
And some critics would say, UW professors, staff, they're paid more than enough. You know, you hear people talking
about
elite
university. They're an easy target. They've been an easy target for, and I think unfortunate and very unfair, because of the impact that our educational institutions have in our community. Just, you can look at it in La Crosse, at the impact that we have is terrific. And so these are hardworking folks, hardworking people who have been here for a considerable amount of time. And for them to be 18% less than their peers across the country is really an outrage, and something that I think we've got to change.
You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. My guest today is UW System Board of Regents President Brent Smith. He's also an attorney with Johns and Flaherty in La Crosse. I want to talk next about the state of state funding. Where exactly are we at? I know we're in the middle of a budget, but
I think we're in a better place than we've been in the last couple of budgets. Let's just put it that way. Our discussions with the governor's office and Department of Administration come out with instructions as to what kind of budget you're supposed to submit. And we got, I think, some good instructions, particularly for the UW system, that said, A, we're going to pay for what the usual costs of continued are, whether those be utilities, the heat, the benefits. That's important because sometimes those have been even looked at as a place to cut. We've said we're going to be at least stable with our budget. They're not going to be asking for any cuts. And we're also, as far as our budget level, to say where it's stable, it will not include the lapse that we took last year, which was $65 million. That's not to be included in our budget. So that is very positive. Indeed, when we talked to the governor's office about we're going to put forth a actual increase of $21 million for some economic development, including the flexible degree, they said they welcome that in the budget. So is it is it where we'd ideally want it to be? Are we making up for lost ground? Probably not. But it's certainly a better position than we've been in several budgets. And you know, the state's budget overall in the deficit, et cetera, is in a better shape. So that's reflected in what our proposal is. And I think it's one of the first times that we've actually, in forming our proposal that went to the governor, actually talked with the governor's office and said, here's what we're thinking of doing. We're not going to ask for some of our budget proposals in the past have been, well, here's the best case scenario. If everything goes right, here's what we'd like you to do for us. This one was, well, let's have a talk with people within the governor's office and say, is this realistic? Is this something that you would take a hard look at and be open to? And they said yes. So I'm encouraged overall. And, the budget process, is a long one. And what happens when it gets to the legislature, who knows? But at least I think if we have an ally for what we have now proposed to the governor in his office, that's going to go a long way.
As president, how will you ensure that the UW system doesn't receive more cuts down the line?
You know, it's impossible to say that, but I think we continue to make the case, kind of some of the things we're talking about as far as the history of the system. One would argue that we've been especially hit hard with budget cuts in the last 10 years, whether it be a Democratic governor or be a Republican governor. We've taken some significant budget cuts. So it seems to me the very strong argument could be is we've had our time. If there's going to be cuts, I don't know what they're going to be cuts with other agencies or not. But as far as the UW system, it's time to invest in that and not have those the cuts that we've seen in the past. And I'm optimistic that that's going to be the case.
And one way that the Board of Regents has more or less dealt with the cuts is you all voted to increase tuition 5.5%
right
this year. And this is the sixth year that tuition has increased.
5.5. And I think our goal, as the overall state finances are better, and if we can get the kind of budget that we have proposed to the governor, we are at least, what I'd say, cautiously optimistic that an increase would be under what we've had in the past. We're going to have to take a hard look at it. We're going to have to take a look at state finances at the end of this year, beginning of next year. But it is certainly, I can say, every regent that I've talked to about this is saying we've got to try to find a way to get those increases so it's not 5.5 every year. And we think if the budget can go forward the way we have proposed it in consultation with the governor, that we can find a way that it would be under 5.5. We're not there yet, and it's not. We haven't voted anything. We don't vote on tuition increases until next June. But there is certainly a unanimous feeling, I think, on that board that we want to try to find a way to do that. There's no longer any assumption that it's going to be 5.5. I think we've made that clear to our administration. We made that clear to our chancellors that we're trying to find that way, and we hope we can do it.
Will there ever be a day where tuition goes down, or are we at this level where, you know, tuition either wouldn't be raised or maybe it would just be raised, as you said, less than 5.5%?
I think if we can either stabilize the state funding part of it, which we're trying to do now, or even get some little bump, which we got last time, I think it was in 2006 or 2008, which we did get actually a little bump when we tried to do the growth agenda that we had at that time. If we could stabilize or get a little bump up, I think you'd see less increase. I don't know if it's ever going to come to a point. Don't want to mislead anybody that it would come to zero or we'd have a decrease in tuition. But if we could ratchet that number down, and I think that will happen if we can get more stability in our state funding or even get some small bump.
Some people argue that many students pay with student loans anyways, so if they're paying $500 to $1,000 more each year, what difference is that going to make for them in the long term? How do you respond to that?
It certainly makes a difference for them in the long term. And you and I see the results of people who come out of college with high loan numbers. And again, is it worth it? I would think in most cases the answer is yes, because of the advantages that we talked about earlier. But anything we can do to lessen that debt load when they come out of somewhere down the line, because that's to have that with you in the early first 10, 20 years of your adult life, of your working life, you're trying to buy a home, raise a family, anything we can do to lessen that. So I think it does make a difference, and you just can't say, well, what difference if it's $50,000 as compared to $75,000? That's a heck of a difference.
And here at UW-La Crosse, the foundation is going to be taking on an aggressive fundraising campaign in order to sort of offset the rising tuition costs. They want to raise $15 million in 7 years for scholarships, and Chancellor Joe Gao says basically they're willing to look anywhere, private donations, look at different companies. He says he'll end up making a donation. Is this the future that many UW schools will have to look towards, increasing scholarships, increasing fundraising in order to offset higher tuition costs?
I think that's kind of the informal, if not sometimes actually the agreement that we've had when we've talked to colleges about the raising tuition, and sometimes this differential tuition where some are higher than others, we've almost...
You're referring to UW-Madison, right, versus La Crosse.
Right. We've almost said that's part of the deal. You have to raise some money for more scholarships. So sometimes it's been mandated. Other institutions, it hasn't been mandated, but it's certainly become the model. As A, tuition costs get higher, and B, access gets... We're concerned still about access. I mean, are we putting tuition at a rate that leaves out a certain portion of our population? Certain portion gets loans. Certain people don't need loans because of their family's financial situation. Is there a middle class that is having a very difficult time paying tuition at either an in-state or certainly an out-of-state school? So there's a good deal of pressure, both from, I think, the general public, but I think Congress, as they're looking at continuing this loan program, to say, what are you doing? What are you doing to help offset the tuition increases? What are you doing to help offset more issues about access to the university? And one of the things colleges are doing in response to that is raising more money for scholarships. It's happening at UWL. It is certainly happening, as we talked about earlier, at UW-Madison. And as I think you're seeing it as the model throughout the system and throughout higher education.
Is there more that the UW schools can be doing in order to help out with the reduced funding from the state, but also with the increase in tuition?
Well, I think scholarships is a key way, and to try to say if we're going to have these increases, to make sure that those who are on lower family incomes, somehow we make sure that the university and or the state makes up for that, that we don't, again, that it becomes such a burden on middle class or people from that type of background and low to middle class income families that they can't afford college. We've got to find a way, whether it be through loans, whether it be through the scholarships, whether it be an agreement that we're going to offset any further increases, that we've got to do that because we don't want, and you and I used this term earlier, we don't want to become a university just at the elite. That is a non-starter, I think, as far as our history in this state. And today it's still a non-starter, and I certainly don't want to go in that direction.
It seems like this may be a turning point in the mindset for the UW system as far as looking at how it funds itself. I mean, is it almost thinking more like a private university where they do have to rely a lot on alumni?
Oh, I think there's been that trend. Even it's certainly true today. You're right. But there's been a slow trend toward that. I don't think we're into the we shy away, and I still think it's a good thing to shy away from the term privatization or private university. But clearly, when you have, you know, when you get that percentage of state funding decreased, and of course a higher reliance, as that number has gone down, the higher reliance on tuition, you still have between tuition and state funding almost 50% of the paying for education. So it's still a, you know, the idea of the private education is still not a huge number. But getting private money for scholarships, giving private donations is still, as you've indicated, important, going to be increasingly important. And in a state system like we have, to have more control at the local level, hopefully at some point having even more flexibility than we have today, especially with regard to how to spend the money.
You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. My guest today is UW System Board of Regents President Brent Smith, who's also an attorney with Johns and Flaherty in La Crosse. I want to talk about the number of building projects that you also recently approved with the Board of Regents here on UW La Crosse's campus. I know a lot of people are very excited about the updates to Cowley right. Hall.
You know, we have it every year certain buildings approved throughout our campus, throughout our system. It just happens, I'm sure, for people who are watching, it seems like La Crosse has been with between Centennial Hall, some of the residence hall. Of course, it's a different funding for when you, and sure. we're now talking about a student redoing Cartwright
and
at some point in time.
Yeah, the redoing of this of Cartwright Student Center, right. But that will be funded through
right.
student fees.
Like a residence hall or a student union is through student fees, where Centennial Hall is primarily university. That we had a sizable private contribution mm-hmm. to, and Cowley will be all state funding.
And so, Cowley Hall is there's more science and mathematics
right.
classes in there.
And don't know if you saw recently that there's now, we're doing three throughout the system. I'm forgetting where the other two is now, but the significant increases in what you'd call sciences, which is, of course, a great, if you look at the numbers of where students are taking courses. For better or for worse, some of the most popular courses are in that area, the science, the engineering, the math, as opposed to what you and I would call the more traditional English or history, or that's where the interest is. Again, whether that's good or bad, we can all make that judgment, but that's the way it is. So those buildings really need to be state-of-the-art. You know, if you go to UWL, to Cowley Hall, and look in Cowley Hall,
it's a little out of date.
to say a little is an understatement. So we really need that, and this was so important for us to approve that, and it's very exciting for this campus to have that happen.
And another topic that may be on people's minds regarding the UW system is last year there were talks that UW-Madison could split from the system. Is this still a continuing issue?
I don't think so. Can I say it will never come back again? You never want to make that prediction, but it's certainly not being talked about it at this point in time. You know, the irony was that Madison wanted a lot of the things that the other campuses wanted too, this flexibilities that you and I have been talking about this morning. That was their main gripe, that they wanted more flexibility with regard to things like personnel systems, building projects. And when it came about, when they introduced that, of course, and they said this idea that they would be a separate entity and with more diversity, more flexibility, you know, the other campuses said, well, you know, really, that's what we want. We don't want to be separate, but we certainly want more flexibility. And the legislature cooperated in some respects last time, and we're asking for more this time. But going back to your original question, I don't see that as happening. I don't see anybody proposing that right now. The Chancellor Ward, our interim chancellor, haven't heard a word that would be on his agenda at all.
In your mind, should UW-Madison stay within the system?
Absolutely. I was one of the board, you know, we voted unanimously on our board that at the time when this idea came to try to, it's worked well. Certainly, it needs, you know, you always need change, and you can't keep the same system that we had in 1971 when the system first was developed. But it has worked well. We have a worldwide known system, and it's kind of the model for a lot of other state systems that when you look at, you know, it continues to excel. So, and there's a lot of advantages in the cooperation as opposed to competing, and a lot of economies that are accomplished by that way. So my view, and at least the regents at that time, and certainly in the end the legislature, was to keep us all together.
Brent Smith, is there anything else you are looking forward to this year, work within the Board of Regents, or any challenges you see that the board could face?
The biggest, again, is, and we've talked about the three things, are the budget, you know, the pay for our faculty and staff, and this flexible degree. Those are the things that really we're going to be focusing on. And within all of that economic, kind of our tie to the economic development, how does the system and the state work together to, you know, the job development? And I think that's a key. One of the things that we constantly are battling is this perception in the public's mind as to what university, you know, the role we play, the function we play, the value we have within our state. And we've got to do, I think, we've always said this, a little better job. One of the myths that is out there, of course, is this brain drain. I don't know if we haven't talked about that this morning, but there's been a
talk graduates about, who leave Wisconsin.
Graduates who leave Wisconsin. There's been a recent study again that was made that kind of debunks that. Of Wisconsin residents who go to Wisconsin schools, 82% of the graduates stay in Wisconsin and work. Now, it's a lesser percent for, admittedly, for people who come from, you know, some other parts of the country or international students. But we, the colleges that we have, the system that we have, educates Wisconsin students, and the far great majority stay in Wisconsin to become, you know, working and employed in the state of Wisconsin. One of the things we try, and it's very difficult, is to get that story out to the legislature and to the public, and if we can do a better job at that, I think we do a good job, it's just to do it better in the next, during my term, that would be a goal of mine as well.
Brent Smith of La Crosse was elected president of the University of Wisconsin System Board of Regents in June. He's been on the board since 2004 and will serve a two-year term as president. He's the first Board of Regents president from the La Crosse area in recent memory. Coming up next, it may become easier for farms to convert animal waste into power. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. To hear this or other recent editions of Newsmakers, visit our website at wpr.org/lacrosse. We also welcome your comments and ideas. Simply follow the links on our archives page at wpr.org/lacrosse.